have the prayer request for this morning. Lisa Taylor asked us to pray for her and her family for healing in God's wisdom. And then I have unspoken prayer requests for my nephew Dylan and also for my friend Norma Smith.
Okay. All right. Father, we love you and we bless you. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for the opportunity to pray. Father, I lift up Lisa to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, it's very difficult place to be in, I understand, because family issues can be the most gratifying and they can be the most energy draining. Father, and I just pray, I agree with Lisa, Lord God, in her stance, what she's believing you for, Lord God, for restoration in the family, for healing. And Lord God, you said if we ask for wisdom, that you give it to us, that you don't hold anything back. And I thank you for the wisdom to direct her in her way. Father, for Dylan, we just lift him up in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God. I inform the enemy that he does not belong to you any way, shape, form, or fashion. You take your hands off in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that the eyes of his understanding would be opened, that he might see the light of your truth, Lord God. Not our truth, your truth. Lord God, make yourself real to him. And Lord, we lift up Norma to you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that wherever she goes, you are there. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God. I pray that the questions that are important to you, Lord God, that those questions would be answered. And I pray that Norma is able to see those answers, Lord God. And for those things that concern her heart that are not as important as what we think, Lord God, I pray that you would show that to her. Lord God, that those some things work themselves out. Lord, we give you praise for it. We give you honor. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Joshua's Crossing Ministries, located right here in Elk City at the Promise Center. They are one of our sponsors. And Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. I just wanted to make sure I still remember how to do that. Okay. You got some others over there, Sister Tina?
I got a couple.
Okay.
Where's Pastor Joe Pastor?
Right up the street.
Right up the street. Yeah, you guys know. Just
by the Longfellow building.
Yeah, yes. Over by the Longfellow building. Yeah. Okay, so everybody knows now.
Yeah. He just right up the street.
Right up the street.
Yeah. Up yonder.
Prophetic Voice Ministries is located at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City, Apostle Casey Elliott. The Refuge Church is now at the New Liberty Church at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sarah, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey.
Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines are principles and rules that you live by. They're based on standards bigger than you. They were established before you and will continue after you. They are not controlled by what you do, but directly connected to why you do. They may seem to be a limit to your life, but are proven by the life that follows. Why you do is much more important than what you do.
Bardice & Ford in Elk City has huge news. The deals are back and the inventory is arriving daily. Plus, we're offering as low as 0% financing on most Ford SUVs, Escapes, Edges, and Explorers, all starting at 0% plus customer cash. And let's not stop there. How about as low as 0% financing on 22 and 23 F-150s? They're coming in daily. All new models and great savings. Now that's the Barbara Dyson difference. BarbaraDysonFord.net.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction Realty, 580-225-0269.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest for today is our brother in Christ, Rick Spain. His title for today is The Flood. And it's not the flood you're thinking. It's not the flood of Noah with Noah. Not that one. Back to you, brother.
Yeah. Okay. So we went over some influencing factors, and understand, I want to go over that real quick one more time, that 3 influences: the world, the way it operates, God, you can't remove him, and me, meaning you. I am an influence. And so in understanding this, we got to recognize where the real battle is. So Ephesians 6, it says the weapons of our warfare. No, excuse me. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers in the dark world, spiritual wickedness in high places. I think I said that kind of right. I might have got a word here or there interchanged. But where our battle is a spiritual battle. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, the weapons of our warfare are not of this world. They are not of this world. Got to get this, folks. You know, because if we don't grasp this, what we're going to do is we're going to be fighting a losing battle. And I'll get into that here in just a minute. But, you know, when I think, this is one thing that Rick Spain thinks about, is Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle. This guy just makes my brainwaves go crossways. Not because of what he says, but because of what he did. You know, this is the guy that would go into a town he'd never been in, go in there and preach the gospel, and, you know, a lot of people getting saved, then the enemy raises up ugly head up through people, and they throw him in jail, or one time they stoned him and thought he was dead, you know, and he got back up, and he was ready to go back in the city. You know, he says in one of his testimonies that at one time he was raised from the dead. I think this is the point he's talking about. And so this guy is either got a fire that can't be put out, or he's a certified nut. You know, really. I mean, going into a city, might get thrown in jail. And the Lord told him that too, you know. He says, "You're gonna pay for serving me," and that's, don't get me wrong, this is not God saying, "I remember what you did, so you're paying me back." No, he let him know before he went into this ministry. It's gonna be a lot of hardship, Paul. There's gonna be a lot of trouble. And God didn't cause the trouble. And God, that's not his design. He doesn't want us going in a situation knowing we're going to get into trouble. It's not about the trouble. It's about what he's called us to do. And so when I think about Paul, you know, and I do think about him, I think, wow, you know, there's times when, I go in and I get my feelings hurt a little bit, and I'm done with it. You know, I'm okay, fine. I'm going to go help somebody else. You done hurt my feelings. You know, and the more that I grow in the Lord, the more I understand it's not about my feelings. It's not about my opinion. It's about what the Lord wants me to do. So when Paul, a lot of, you know, Peter talked about Paul, and he says his letters are weighty and hard to understand. You know, and so he was a really, really intelligent dude. He's very smart. And so when he would write, you know, he wouldn't just stick with the thought. He would bring a thought out, and then he'd go off on this thought for a little bit. And then he'd come back to that thought. And so your brain's doing flip-flops, you know, when you read. And you read three or four verses, and you think, what the heck did I just read? You know, so you got to go back and read it about three or four times, you know. You know what I mean? Yeah. So this was Paul. But one thing I understand about Paul, he didn't write about things that he learned out of a book. What he wrote was by experience. And so in one place in Ephesians chapter 3, it says, Colossians 3:1. It says, set your mind on things above, not the things of the earth. Set your mind on things above, not the things of the earth. And he also says that we are raised to be seated with Christ in heavenly places. Well, I don't know about you, but you know what? I hadn't been to heaven yet. I mean, physically, I hadn't been there. And so he's not talking about a physical thing. What is he talking about? When he's talking about raising the level of your thinking, not on the things of the world, but on things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. And this is how Paul lived. He wasn't moved. Now, understand, he felt all this stuff. He felt it when they beat on him, when they threw him in jail. He got upset about it. You know, the one time he got thrown in jail and stayed there for quite a while. And finally he says, you know what, I'm done with this. I appeal to Caesar. You know, was that in God's plan? You know what, I don't know. But God used it in his plan. You know, and so on and so forth. But how did Paul think? He thought on higher levels. If we don't raise our mind to a higher level, we're going to be stuck down here with all the mess. I was talking to an old boy the other day, another friend of mine, believer. And he says, man, have you been seeing everything that's going on in the world? Well, one thing that's not a question that he's wanting a real answer to. Well, no, heck, I don't know what's going on. Lord of mercy, we all know what's going on. Yes, we see it. So what was he trying to get out of me? He was trying to get an agreement, and that's most of what we have to say is not questions of yes or no, or it is questions of come on and agree with me and then I can feel better about it. Hey, I'm not going to single this guy out. I do the same thing. We all do it. And so that's when we allow our understanding to come down here on this level. You know, so what I said, yeah, I sure do. I see, you know, there's just a lot of bad stuff going on. But I said, you know what else I see? I see the Spirit of God rising up. And I mean, I'm seeing people in different places and a movement of the Spirit of God that only God can do. People that are being raised up to and that standard is being set like a flood. Like a flood. You know, and so if we don't develop that higher mindset, and that's what Paul's talking about. And he's not just saying, hey, you know what, we need to think on higher levels. You know, he doesn't have a campfire going and saying, all right, this is our strategy. We need to change our thinking, you know, and we develop this better concept. No, this is what he lived. And so when he says it, he's not saying you need to try this. Maybe this will work, maybe not. This is how you do it. Raise your mind to a higher level. So, you know, if we don't, what happens is we have a tendency to separate the good from the bad. Now, let me explain this. The good from the bad, meaning, okay, like I said earlier, there's two camps. That's the bad camp. This is the good camp. I'm going to be in the good camp. Well, what's those people in the bad camp think? What do they think when they're measuring good and bad? We're the bad camp. What are we called? We're prejudice and we don't understand the rights that people have and all these things. So they're looking at it from a different angle. Okay, so are they wrong in their thoughts? Well, once again, we get to the right and wrong thought, the good and the bad. Well, you know, I want you to know something. Everybody is in the bad camp. Everybody. All of us. If we don't recognize that, then what we're going to do is we are going to raise our head up high and thumb our noses at the other people. Oh, my, 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 my. Is that what Jesus wanted? Yeah. No. He didn't want that. You know, where was Jesus? He was over there in the bad camp. You know, he was. Yeah, he went to church. Yeah, he was in the church. But what happened in the church? Religious people wanted to argue with him. When he went out there amongst the bad camp, they all loved him. They loved him. He accepted them. We're all in the bad camp. We got to get the good and bad when it's talking about us directly. Get that out of our mind. Now, when we're talking about it theoretically in what I should receive and what I shouldn't, yeah, I mean, we need to understand this is good and that's bad. You know, and so if does the Lord want me to have it, it's good. If he doesn't want me to have it, it's bad. That's personal. But when we're talking about the corporate arena, you know, we're all bad, folks. It's Jesus. Jesus is the one that makes us good. Gosh, gosh, gosh. If your toes are not being stepped on, it's because you're hiding them. You know, so I'm going to go on. So what we tend to want to do when we look at good and bad camps is we get our weapons out, our weapons. Well, you know what these people are saying, that, you know, you should have a right. A woman has a right over her own body. Let's throw that out there. Woman has a right for their own body. Well, you know what I'm saying? Well, what about the baby? You know, And that woman, she didn't get pregnant by herself. What about that fella? I mean, can we bring all this stuff into the equation? You know, one thing I'm finding that and this is a side thought, that in the world we live in, it's not about common sense right and wrong thought. It's about what is best for me. What benefits me? When we fight with those weapons, all we're doing is we are creating the same weapons the world has, and we're putting God's name on them. Somebody needs to write that down. We're using the same weapons the world uses, and we're putting God's name on it, God's blessing on this thing, and so it makes it different than the other's weapons. No, it's not the same weapon. You know, and so we need to understand we are not fighting against flesh and blood. If you don't get that, then that's what you're going to be doing. They're wrong. That person's wrong. Well, you know what? If Jesus wasn't in your life, you'd be in the same camp. Maybe a different opinion, but you'd still be in the same camp. We got to understand this. It's not about saving our country. Darn it. I had to say that. It is about glorifying and representing the one who pulled us out of the bad wrong camp and set us in his camp. Because when it comes to right or wrong, there's one right and everybody else is wrong. Dang it. I have to say this. Yeah, really? So how do we fight this battle? How do we fight it? I've got a little blueprint for you. And, you know, you might have a different opinion, but I'm the one with the microphone, and the Lord's the one that gave me this word to give to you. So how do you fight it? Number one, be filled with the Spirit. I'm talking to the body of Christ. If you hadn't received Jesus as your personal Savior, you're not going to be filled with His Spirit. You got to receive that free gift of salvation. And if you haven't, I invite you to. Because He's good all the time. All the time. So be filled with the Spirit. Now that's interesting because it says that in Ephesians. It says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Well, in the Greek, the original language this was written in, they have an active verb that we don't necessarily have in the English translation. And so when he says be filled with the Spirit, it would properly be translated be being filled. Be being filled. It's a constant thing. It's an active. It's an always active action. And so it's not one of those things, well, I got filled with the Spirit when I was 13 years old. You know, so you, man, you been filled with the Spirit? Yeah. When I was 13 years old, I got filled with the Spirit. You know, and so then we move on and we think we're all right. No, what he's saying, you need a continual filling. If you don't need a continual filling, then you're not doing what God's called you to do. I'm just telling you. Because when you do what he's called you to do, man, whatever you got filled up with in the morning, you need to recharge the next day. And a matter of fact, all the time, we need that recharge. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Be filled with the Spirit. We're talking about how do we fight this battle. Number two, do something. Do something. Now, it's interesting because I wrote a piece on the puzzle, and that's what I called it, the puzzle. And the bottom line thought is that we're all just pieces of puzzle in this big picture. That's all we are. And if you've ever put a puzzle together, you get this particular piece, and you know it's going to fit in this spot, and you try to put it in there, and it doesn't fit, Monica. And so what do? Or should I say, what do you want to do? I don't know. Maybe you guys don't think like I do, but my first thought is get the scissors. get the scissors, you know. Let's make that piece. It looks like it fits there. You know what? We're all pieces in a puzzle. And sometimes we think we fit in this situation. Let me tell you something. God knows where you fit. He knows where you fit. So when I'm talking about doing something, don't just go out there and do something because you think it's right. You remember, be filled with the Spirit. Oh, we got puzzle pieces here. Puzzle pieces. Be filled with the Spirit. And what does the Spirit do? He guides you. He guides you. So he's going to put you right where your peace belongs. Get in your place and do something. You know what? What happens, how we counteract this is what we tend to do is instead of do something, we talk about something. Well, this is what we need to do. That preacher needs to do this and our church would be better. Yeah, not until the next thing he needs to do. And then, you know, pretty much, you know, I know this new pastor over in Weatherford, he says, well, one thing I've come to understand that everybody disagrees with something. And I said, yep, that's why I don't ever want to be a coach of a kids team or a pastor. I don't want to. No, dealing with people and opinions. Talk is cheap. Get in your place and do something. Final thought is the Word of God. What do? How do you fight with the Word of God? What did Jesus do when the enemy came against him? He spoke the Word. He spoke the Word. If we don't have the Word in us, it's not going to come out of us. You got to get the Word in you. Get it in you. Peter says, by the washing of the water, by the Word. So what does the Word do? It cleans us up on the inside. And what else does the Word do? It does whatever it was sent to do. Never fails. It's going to do what it was sent to do. Get the Word in you. So when we fight, remember, we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against spiritual adversaries that are in behind these physical components. And so what do? We come directly at the source. Devil, in the name of Jesus. Because God's Word says, and you fill in the blank, it never fails. Now, does it turn out the way you think it ought to turn out? Probably not. Is it going to turn out the right way? Absolutely. Yes. Just the way God designed it. And so when we're talking about a flood, there's a flood. There's a flood in our world today. Well, there's a couple of floods. There's a flood from the enemy, but there's a flood from God. And we might see, well, you know what, they got in the Senate's got the majority. They got the majority, so, Lord, we're doomed. God don't need the majority. He just needs a handful. I'm going to make a difference. I will. There's not a doubt in my mind. I'm going to make a difference. Because God created me to make a difference. And I'm going to leave you with this thought. God created you to make a difference. If you don't see it, you won't be it. And so I'm going to close in prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord God. Thank you for these words that have been spoken, Lord God. Impress upon our hearts and our minds what you want us to understand in this. Lord God, thank you that you've equipped us for every good work. And I thank you, Lord God, that even though the enemy may seem to be winning, he never does. You win every time. Lord, help us to be found in you so that we, as you, win every time. We thank you for it. Thank you for it. thing. I come against spirits of confusion in the name of Jesus. I command you to take your hand off of God's property. I thank you for it. I speak peace. Peace in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. And you already know I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of the day. For myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and from our awesome brother in Christ, Mr. Rick Spain. Y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time. Stay tuned for the Truth Broadcast.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.